Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Neither Stoke nor Zach, but it's all right. They'll be back soon. Of course, Stoke still sitting in for Mark Schlereth, who's on his worldwide cruise. And Zach is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. But today, it is me, Matt Smith, and I'm joined by James Merrillat. James, how you doing today?
I'm good, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I think it's this gloomy day, but it's got me in a bit of a reflective mood, a contemplative mood. I've been thinking a lot about this Broncos coaching search, James, and I have to be honest with you, I have had a change of heart.
Oh, all right. So I thought you were going to go down the path of it's got you in kind of a feisty mood.
No.
But more reflective.
So yeah.
You've analyzed your initial thoughts, kind of leanings, and you're changing your ways?
Yeah, I am. I am. I did the drive last night with John Davis and kicked some things around with him and then kind of thought about some things. Did a little bit more research last night because as we know, it is day 9 of Broncos coaching search 2022, and the Broncos are in the Dallas area today to interview Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Now, of course, James, we know that Dan Quinn is the rumored favorite. We had Lock on Fora came out this weekend with a report confirming kind of his earlier report, and we've heard it from several people now that it appears that Quinn will emerge as the favorite. And quite frankly, James, I think the only thing that George Payton has tipped in this coaching search is that he is looking at Hackett and Dan Quinn, and here's why, and follow me here. Obviously, you had the first round bye with the Packers, so you could get an interview with Hackett early, and I think that because they went after Hackett and Getsy, I do believe that the Getsy interview was to kind of see if this is a guy who could be Hackett's offensive coordinator and to learn more about Nathaniel Hackett. Now, the Aaron Rodgers wrinkle is another wrinkle, but it is what it is. Okay, so I think that's part of it. And if you look down the rest of this coaching search, obviously these are two guys, outside of the Cowboys, but they're two different sides of the ball. These are the only two guys in the same team. And I think because we know what we know about Nathaniel Hackett in that he's one of the hottest names in the market right now, that they needed to do their due diligence. And as we know, George Payton is very thorough. And then after this weekend's results, look, George Payton could just as easily be in Philly today interviewing Jonathan Gannon. He could just as easily be in New England today interviewing Jerod Mayo, but he's not. He's in Dallas interviewing Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. He had that choice. So in my opinion, that is the only thing that this search committee has tipped, James, here in this in the early goings of this coaching search. It's now day 9.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, if the first guys you interview when you have a chance to interview them kind of tell you where you're leaning.
Right.
I don't think that's, reading the tea leaves too much.
No.
I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. The only thing I don't necessarily agree is that the Luke Getsy interview was to have him be the OC under Nathaniel Hackett. And here's why I say that.
Yeah.
I think maybe if they hire Dan Quinn, he's a guy they might recommend as the OC. But if they hire Nathaniel Hackett and he comes in and says, hey, I want to bring this guy that was our quarterback's coach in Green Bay with me to be the OC, they're not going to say, oh, well, we didn't interview him. They're going to say, okay, that's
cool. You've
been
not.
Working with
of
him.
Of course so, not. No. But I think they had a plan in mind ahead of time because, as we've heard, George Payton has been thinking about this for several months now. So if you're prepared and you're thinking preemptively, then I think it's a smart move. And you're right. Look, I think it's also a smart idea to have a contingency plan because if you do hire Dan Quinn, you're going to need a rock solid offensive coordinator for a multitude of reasons. And we'll get into those, but there is validity. I think it's more of a contingency plan on that side of it, though.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And look, it's just it's talking to everybody,
yeah.
or at least as many people as you can, and making sure that either the decision or the thought you had going in, which was Dan Quinn, is the right one, or maybe somebody blows you away. Maybe you talk with Luke Getz and you're like, man, compare him to Nathaniel Hackett. He's clearly the guy that's running that show and making that work, not the offensive coordinator. You know, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying that's the thing you could discover while you're going through this process. I think, you know, Dan Quinn, I know the Cowboys lost, and I get it, and everybody down there is freaking out. I would not be surprised if Jerry Jones doesn't look at this situation and say, everybody's coming after Dan Quinn, and Mike McCarthy just blew a game, and we were 12-5, and people thought we were going to go to the Super Bowl. Why do I have Mike McCarthy here, and why am I keeping him here and letting Dan Quinn walk out the door? That would not shock me if that knee-jerk reaction happens in Dallas. I don't think Jerry wants to see either one of his coordinators leave. I don't know that Kellen Moore's in his demand as much after what we saw over the weekend. I think Dan Quinn's stock is still high.
That was exactly what I said to John Davis yesterday. I said, hosting the drive, I said, it would not surprise me in the next 18 hours, even though Mike McCarthy still has that job if he was fired. Because, look, I've heard a lot of pressure coming out of Dallas, especially Cowboys fans, that they want this guy gone. They've seen enough of him bungling games. And so that wouldn't surprise me either. I still think that there is a possibility that that happens. However, I mean, we do have to say what it's, you know, 1 o'clock now, Dallas time. You might figure if they were going to make that move, it might have been done already. However, again, it would not surprise me to see it happen.
Yeah, and you know, with each passing hour, I think it becomes less likely. But we saw this last week too. Normally, coaches get fired on Monday, and it took until Thursday, I think, for David Culley to be let go down in Houston. So sometimes,
true, absolutely,
teams wait for some of the other dominoes to fall, right? So if they go through the interview process, and Dan Quinn, for whatever reason, isn't going to get the job in Miami or Denver or whatever, and he's, you know, going to go through this entire hiring cycle, and he doesn't look like he's leaving, well, then I don't know that Jerry Jones makes that decision. But I think if it turns into something where it's like, hey, the Broncos are going to offer him a job, then I think it turns into, well, do I want to offer him that job, or do I let him leave because the Broncos are offering him that job? So I think there's a little bit of let the dominoes fall. And I also think if you're Jerry Jones, you got to have a plan. If you're going to knee-jerk this thing, which sounds like not having a plan, but if you're going to, you have to know this is what I want to do in place of Mike McCarthy. So if it's Dan Quinn and you know he's not going to take the Denver job, even though he's got this connection to George Payton, okay, maybe you go down that route. If you talk to Dan Quinn and he tells you, hey, I'm going to Denver if they offer it to me, he wouldn't say I'd rather have that job, but that's where I'm going to go. Then you don't probably pull the plug. So I think there's just a lot of – it takes some time to kind of figure out all those particulars. So I wouldn't read too much into that it hasn't happened yet, but I do think you're right. With each passing hour, it becomes less likely.
Yeah, and I think that – I mean, look, the Broncos aren't going to be alone in their interest in Dan Quinn. He's also going to interview with the Bears, the Dolphins, and the Vikings this week. Of all those other openings, which is the most attractive to you?
Boy. Probably the Vikings of those three. The Bears are kind of a mess. You don't know who the GM is yet. Working for the McCaskies, I think, would be trouble. I think down in Miami,
very astute of you, James.
I think down in Miami, Stephen Ross is a bit of a loose cannon. It'll be interesting to see as time goes on, what the issue was with Brian Flores. But just looking at it right now, it looks like, man, that it looks like a bad decision by Stephen Ross. You know what? Minnesota's been a pretty stable organization. I mean, they had Spielman there for 15 years. I get it. They're looking for a GM too, but he was there 15 years. Zimmer was there, I believe, 8. So it's a situation, if you're going into it, you know they're going to be patient. They're going to give it some time. They're going to let the program get put in place. So of those three, I would probably put Minnesota up. And right now, that may be a better job than Denver because they have a quarterback. You can say what you will about Kirk Cousins, but he's a heck of a lot better than anybody the Broncos have.
A lot to get into today as we get rolling. It is Matt Smith and James Merrillat filling in for Zach in Stoke. The Broncos have two huge interviews today. Could possibly be interviewing the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Also, a very interesting new ownership wrinkle has come out here in this little ownership situation the Broncos have. James and I will dive into all of that over the next course of 3 hours. Thanks for hanging with us on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Mary J. Blige on a gloomy Tuesday. A little family affair. Is that right, KJ? Sitting in for Richie for just a few minutes. It's Matt Smith and James Marillat sitting in for Stoke and Zach today. Stoke, of course, still sitting in the mornings with Mike Evans, and Zach will be back tomorrow. I'll be with Zach tomorrow. Well, James, it was a wild, wild card weekend, and it says here in the notes that it happened to be a profitable weekend for you and one Richie Carney.
Yeah, no, I thought I was doing pretty well because I picked all six winners. I was 6 for 6.
You were 6 for 6?
Yeah.
Attaboy.
You know, my 5 of them were the home team, and then I think the biggest or the smallest underdog was the Niners. So it wasn't like I was going out on a huge limb, but hey.
Which we called that last week, by the way. We had called that.
Yeah, the NFL's a tough league to pick, so to go 6 for 6, I was feeling pretty good about that. But our guy Richie Carney was 6 for 6 with the number. I mean, that's a whole different can of worms. So
what do you mean with the number here?
I was just picking winners. He was picking against
the spread. I was picking against the spread? Oh, yeah. Well, to be fair, and I have to give you a lot of credit, and I gave you credit on Twitter over the weekend, which you did not acknowledge, but we'll ignore that. James, you had vehemently stated that Buffalo was going to beat the brakes off of New England.
Yes.
And they beat the brakes off of the Patriots on Saturday night.
Arguably the most dominant performance I've seen in an NFL game. I mean, I believe they're the first team ever to not attempt a kick, so a field goal or a punt, or have a turnover in the game. They were perfect. 7 for 7 for touchdowns, and then they took a knee at the end of the game. I mean, it was a boat race of all boat races. And, it was two parts. One, I said they were going to beat the brakes off of them, which they did. And I said, I think Mac Jones has been exposed. I think Mac Jones is going through what Trevor Siemian went through, where he had the hot start, people figured him out, and then he doesn't have an adjustment to their adjustment. He doesn't have a counterpunch. And I thought that was painfully obvious in that game, too. So, that one didn't shock me. It was a lot of blowouts. It was a lot of bad football games this weekend. But we also saw, you know what? It's not about defense. It's not about who's got Jonathan Gannon and his great crew that he's got there put together in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's about offense, and it's about the quarterback that's who's advancing. You look at the 8 quarterbacks playing this coming weekend. 6 of them were first-round picks. 5 of those 6 were in the top 10. It's not a guaranteed recipe for success, but it's the most likely recipe for success.
Look, as we know, I'm not ready to bury Mac Jones just yet, quite like you are. I think he's got some talent, some potential left, but at the same time, didn't do much to prove himself on Saturday night, that's for sure. Buffalo, and credit Sean McDermott and that coaching staff. And again, another example of why I would have liked to see Brian Daboll on this coaching search list. That's just me personally. The Bills became the first team in NFL history, regular or postseason, to go an entire game without punting, kicking a field goal, or turning the ball over.
Yeah, it was dominant. It was impressive. And, you know, I think most of America outside of the Boston area just enjoyed the heck out of it. Like, normally a blowout
outside of the Boston area. Yeah,
I mean, normally it's like, who wants to keep watching this? I couldn't turn away. I just wanted another shot of Bill Belichick on the sideline looking miserable. You know, Josh McDaniels just grasping at straws, looking for answers. It was fantastic. I mean, that team wins all the time, and everything seems to go their way, and they get breaks, and, you know, they go 1 year with Cam Newton and then get a first-round pick at quarterback that looks like they've solved that problem. So to watch them just go down in flames, you know, I get it. You shouldn't root for other people's demise necessarily, but I did feel better about things just watching them lose.
You want to hear an interesting stat? Bill Belichick is 3-8 as a head coach in the postseason versus teams that defeated him that year, and he's lost 6 straight.
And normally you would think it'd be the opposite, right? Like, he's already got a look at him.
Right.
So second time around, or in this case, third time around, he's going to have him figured out. it was the other way around. Clearly, Brian Daboll and the offensive staff in Buffalo figured out what Belichick was doing with against them. Really, the only time they beat him was in that crazy game, the Monday night game, where the wind was blowing so bad and Mac Jones threw three passes. I mean, the definition of an anomaly. Buffalo, clearly the class of that division. And it sets up a great game on Sunday afternoon. The Chiefs and the Bills, that's the AFC title game. It just happens to be in divisional round week. So that'll be fantastic. There weren't a ton of surprises this weekend. There really weren't. I think it just reinforced kind of what we all knew.
Jerry Jones was surprised.
Well, yeah, that was the one. That was the one. But, the Niners have been playing playoff football basically for a month.
Right, and they just won a playoff game the week before going on the road to beat L.A.
Down 17-0. The only time in Sean McVay's career as the head coach of the Rams where they've lost when leading at halftime was that game. It was 17-3. So, down a touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go, no timeouts. They marched down, tied it up, and then won it in overtime. So they were kind of just seasoned. They were kind of that team that, kind of was hot at the right time. That sets up an interesting matchup, too, for this weekend. They're going into Green Bay.
I think that game's fascinating.
Oh my gosh.
Although, Fred Warner being banged up and Joey Bosa being banged up, Nick Bosa being banged up. I think that's a big problem for the 49ers defense. Rodgers with a week off. There's a part of me in the back of my head that just goes, well, maybe Rodgers just buries these guys.
Maybe. But it's also an interesting game from a Broncos standpoint of potential implications with quarterbacks that may or may not be available.
It certainly is.
In the offseason.
Yeah, it certainly is. Okay, so moving over, Bengals take care of the Raiders 26-19. Cincinnati wins a playoff game for the first time since the 1990 wild card round. Cincinnati's streak of 30 straight seasons without a win in the playoffs, the longest active drought in the NFL, is over. And the Raiders have not won a playoff game still since the 2002 AFC Championship game. Vegas' 19 straight seasons without a win is the third longest active streak in the NFL.
The Bengals hadn't won a playoff game since I was in high school, and I'm almost 50. So that was pretty remarkable.
Wasn't it?
The better team won the game, but the story was the referee.
Oh, it was. I mean,
it was a disaster. It was plain as day that the whistle blew
plain as day
during the play. Like, we all, I'm watching with a group of folks, and we all saw it, and like, we're rewinding it right after it happened to see if we heard it correctly. And it took like 10 minutes for, I think it was Tirico and Drew Brees that were on that game, for them to mention it and to come back to it. It's like, man, they either got to notice that or their producer's got to be on top of it.
Yeah, somebody got to be the spotter even.
Yeah, I mean, they whiffed on that. It's debatable whether or not the Raiders stopped on the play or not. I lean toward they do.
Oh, they stop. No, they stop on the play. When I was watching the game, I heard the whistle blow, and then I said, all right, well, Joe just threw that one anyway. It was kind of a late whistle. And then they counted the touchdown. I was like, wait, what? They blew that play dead. How is this play still continuing? And then they just continued on, ruled it a touchdown, and, review it. That's good.
Well, and the other part of it was, like, one, you could hear it.
Right.
And two, they
right.
initially called him out of bounds. So, like, that's why they blew the whistle. They thought he stepped out of bounds.
Well,
so
I never thought he was out of bounds. I thought that was premature in and of itself, to
it
be
was.
Honest with you.
But, man, what a remarkable play, though. Like, when they slowed it down, I mean, he is, his final step and his other foot's about to go down out of bounds. And just that was a big boy throw by Joe Burrow. But that was the story of that game, was the officiating. Mike Mayock out of a job now in Vegas. I don't think Rich Bisaccia, given the fact that they lost that game, is going to be the head coach there next year. So big changes coming in Vegas for a playoff team.
Oh, Rich Bisaccia is gone. No, he's gone.
GM is out. And the coach who got him there, I mean, he did a nice job. The coach who got him there is out. Those are, maybe different degrees of surprise. I never expected Rich Bisaccia to get that job. But it's a team that made the postseason, given all the issues they had, and the GM and the head coach are both going to be out.
Well, the fans have spoken in Broncos country, and if you want to join in on the conversation today, please do so. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. James, the fans have spoken. Our Twitter poll results are in. Who does Broncos country want as their next head coach? Details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Thursday. It is Matt Smith and James Marilat filling in for Stokely and Zach this morning, this afternoon. Well, James, the poll results are in. Broncos.
Is this what gave you the change of heart?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all.
Okay.
Actually, not at all. I didn't even see these numbers until Richie told me when I came in this morning.
Okay, because you told us you had a change of heart, but then we got distracted.
I haven't told you. I know. And it was purposeful, James.
It was a tease. I can't wait to find out what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be coming up here a little bit later. But first, before we hear what my change of heart is, let's hear what Broncos Country thinks. We put out a bunch of polls yesterday on The Fan, and hopefully everybody on The Fan's Twitter, and I hope everyone got a chance to vote. And if you did not, feel free to hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. It was basically, James, it was a thumbs up or a thumbs down on each one of the 10 coaching candidates on this list, correct?
Yep, that was exactly right. Yes or no?
Yes.
Positive or negative? That was all it was.
So let's start with the least popular candidates. This one is not a surprise to me whatsoever. We'll start from order of least popular. Okay.
Fire away.
Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator. 96% of fans are a thumbs down on Jonathan Gannon.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Not a lick.
He's a guy that I don't think anybody knew his name prior to him landing on this search.
Right.
And then you watch the results this weekend when his defense was just totally overmatched by Tom Brady. And I get it, it's Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's also out there without a ton of his weapons. You know, no Chris Godwin, no AB, obviously, no Leonard Fournette. And they just did whatever they wanted for three quarters in that game. So that one doesn't surprise me at all.
I mean, they hit him on the ground with Vaughn and Bernard. Mm-hmm. You know, they gashed him with the short passing game. The defense was a wet paper bag. By the end of the third quarter, it was 31-0. Tampa was up. That game finishes 31-15. But I couldn't agree with you more. That name was the most head-scratching on the list for me when I first saw it come out. Okay, moving on. Aaron Glenn, Lions defensive coordinator. Almost 91% were a thumbs down on Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, and I think this is twofold. I don't think there was ever a time in the year where anybody said, man, I really like what the Lions are doing on defense.
Right,
that's one.
Right, yeah.
And then there's not a single person that ever said, man, we got to tap into that Lions mojo. Right? So, like, there's no reason to go down this route. It also, it has a little bit of, from a resume standpoint, the VJ thing going where, you know, Aaron Glenn's been a defensive coordinator for 1 year and his defense was not good. That's the exact same thing VJ did. He was in Miami for 1 year. His defense was 29th. Glenn's been in Detroit for 1 year. His defense was 31st. I think that scares off a lot of people.
Moving on, Jerod Mayo, Patriots inside linebackers coach. About 80% thumbs down on Jerod Mayo.
I think this is part of it is Patriots. I don't think anybody wants to ever hire anybody from the Bill Belichick tree again in this town. I think that's probably the vast majority of it. And then I think people look at it and say, and I think he's only been a coach for 3 years, and that is a giant leap for a guy who played inside linebacker and has only coached inside linebackers to skip over being a coordinator and go be a head coach. Seems like that's a recipe for disaster.
Again, another guy that I think could potentially be a defensive coordinator candidate based upon whoever gets this job. I do like the fact, though, that he's getting these opportunities and these interviews just 3 years into his coaching career. That says something to me that people think that this guy is meant to be a head coach in this league, and he must be a star. So whether or not he's ready right now, I don't think he's the right candidate for this position, but for a defensive coordinator position down the line, absolutely I'd consider him.
He could blow him away, though, with the...
I agree. He
seems like the kind of guy, if he seems like the kind of guy who, man, players are going to want to run through a wall for that guy.
And we heard Josina Anderson on Friday night. She recycled the Patrick Smythe line, the leader of men, the old catch-all phrase that Broncos fans love so much.
Yeah, leader of men, CEO type.
Right.
That was what we heard about VJ. But he could, and if you start kind of looking at this list and trying to say, who's the opposite of Vic Fangio in a lot of ways? Well, Vic Fangio's been coaching for 40 years. Mayo's been coaching for three.
Right. If you're just trying to hire based upon the two complete opposites on the spectrum,
if you're going to Costanza this thing, then maybe, right? Like, Vic's totally uninspiring, and I think Mayo, you know, again, if he comes across as that guy that you'd run through a wall for, maybe. I don't think he's as big of a long shot as some people think.
It's not working, Jerry. It's just not working. What is it that's not working? my life. Every choice I've made in my life is wrong.
Go the opposite.
My life is the opposite of everything that I wanted it to be. Okay, moving on. Luke Getsy, 81.6% against.
I think he's higher than the other three because of the Packer fascination and the Aaron Rodgers connection potentially. Again, name nobody knew 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I think he's a little higher up there because of the connection that maybe he'll help us get Rodgers. And he's an offensive guy. And I think most people, we'll see it when we get to the most popular candidates, most people want this to go offense.
Yeah, and with Luke Getsy again, I think that's a potential name to watch for offensive coordinator in general. Although, if Nathaniel Hackett were to get a job somewhere, you don't wonder if Luke Getsy would be looked at for offensive coordinator. Obviously, they'd have to hire a new coach, so probably not. But you'd be looking at offensive coordinator. Again, I still think Getsy is offensive coordinator here if Hackett were to get the job here. Okay, moving on. Kellen Moore, the architect of the quarterback draw with 14 seconds and no timeouts left, against the 49ers, 77% against. I wonder if that play this weekend just influenced that vote just a little bit, James.
Well, I think it's two things that influence it. One, not only that play, but just the performance by their offense in general. I mean, they had 7 points after three quarters at home. So that was certainly not, you know, confidence-inspiring. That call was way near the top of the list. But the two main times probably Broncos country got to see Kellen Moore, this playoff game, even though Dallas is on national TV seemingly every week, this game against the Niners, and then when the Broncos played him, and the Broncos had a 30-0 lead in that game. So I think if you look at both of those, you're going, Kellen Moore doesn't exactly get me too excited, too fired up. So I think that's why he's the best of the bottom is how I would put it.
Did you like the creativity on the on that trick play where Cedric Wilson threw a beeline to the sideline?
Yeah, they ran the hook and ladder later in the game. Like
I didn't hate the play call, but it was one of the most butchered executions of a trick play I've ever seen.
Well, they butchered that execution, and you know we won't get into it because it's a rabbit hole. But the end of the game, it was more about the execution.
Yes, it was.
Than the call,
because they got the snap off. The spike was the last second of the play clock.
But that is on
the game clock.
The coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to make sure they know all these things and they're ready to go. And hey, don't try and get an extra 5 yards. Time is more important here. So yeah, it's just the execution of it was brutal.
Last night on the Manning cast, Peyton even took a little subtle shot at them. I thought that was very funny. Okay, so the most popular candidates here: Eric Bieniemy, 52% are in favor of former Buffs legend Eric Bieniemy.
And I find myself, you know, you're going to tell us how you've been reflective. I find myself getting more excited about Eric Bieniemy. I'm going to admit my CU bias, but my CU bias is not in Eric Bieniemy's favor because it was such a disaster.
I was going to say
that when he and John Embry were there.
Doesn't imply here.
No. Like if he was going to play running back in the late 80s, early 90s, sure. But his coaching in CU was abysmal. But man, I watched that offense and I get it. He's working with Tyreek Hill and, you know, Travis Kelce and most importantly, Patrick Mahomes. But the creativity, it's the not only the Travis Kelce, you know, touchdown that he threw, but the underhanded touchdown pass and just thinking outside the box, the kind of things, if you watch games this weekend, a lot of times you found yourself thinking, man, we never see anything like that out of the Broncos. You said it in that game more often than in any other game, and Eric Bieniemy deserves a lot of credit for that.
All right, moving on. Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, 54.5% in favor.
He's my favorite. He would be who I would hire. I'm definitely going with, you've hung out with Sean McVay at Knott's Berry Farm, so you're good enough for me. But it worked for Matt LaFleur. It worked for Zach Taylor, two guys who will still be coaching this coming weekend. And again, you watched the Rams last night. Balance. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They had some creativity with the OBJ pass, which, by the way, that was a heck of a throw by OBJ.
Oh, it was a dime.
Oh, my gosh.
A dime.
You're very rarely going to see that good of a throw from a non-quarterback. Heck, you don't see that good of a throw from about 8 of the 10 guys who played quarterback for the Broncos in the last 6 years. But just the creativity, the coming from McVay's tree, that one, you could sell me on that name for sure.
Kevin O'Connell, and this is where I'll start my change of heart. He was originally on my list, and I still wouldn't hate this, but he's too low energy for me. I watched a lot more on Kevin O'Connell, and I just don't see him being the guy to come in a room and get everybody fired up. I could be wrong, and again, would I dislike the hire? Not necessarily, because I, and this is part of my change of heart as well. I am now firmly of the opinion that it has to be an offensive mind. I really am. And we'll get into the reasoning here a little bit later. But Kevin O'Connell, for me, is actually off of my list at this point. I think there are better candidates that will be available. That leaves three guys left on the list. Brian Callahan, Dan Quinn, and Nathaniel Hackett. Where were they and where did they end up in this poll? Details next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith and James Marilat sitting in for Stokely and Zach today. Of course, Stoke is still joining Mike Evans in the morning. Zach will be back tomorrow. We were just running through our Twitter poll here where Broncos Country has spoken up and made their voices heard based upon who they'd like to see off of George Payton's coaching candidate interview list. And we just got through the last seven, and those names included Jonathan Gannon, Aaron Glenn, Gerard Mayo, Luke Getsy, Kellen Moore, Eric Bieniemy, and Kevin O'Connell. Now, all seven of those guys, 54% or less of Broncos Country, at least who participated in our Twitter polls, wanted these guys. So it not very highly favored is what I'm trying to say here, James.
Yeah, there are a lot of candidates on George Payton's comprehensive list here who would be underwhelming choices to the fan base.
All right, so now let's get to the top three, because this is where everything starts to get pretty interesting. Brian Callahan, Bengals offensive coordinator, is our next name on this list. He spent time under Josh McDaniels here as an offensive assistant, and then again on that Super Bowl 50 staff as an assistant as well in that capacity. And now he's, of course, the OC in Cincinnati, and we see what they have done with Joe Burrow. I'm of the opinion, and before we get into his number, I'm of the opinion that a lot of the progression of the Bengals specifically has to do with Joe Burrow, quite frankly, but you can't discount what that coaching staff has done for them as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good time to be a Bengals fan, right? You have a young head coach in Zach Taylor who the fan base loves. You got a young quarterback. You got Ja'Marr Chase. I mean,
well, they were out on Zach Taylor for a little while. This year they've turned things around, that's for sure.
They're back in on it now. And
yeah,
he's,
they certainly
know,
are.
Hanging out at local establishments and, you know, finding himself on social media after the game. And, you know, he's everybody's favorite there in the Queen City right now. Brian Callahan's an interesting option, has the connection to the Broncos, obviously, and you know, lasted through three different regimes with McDaniels, Foxy, and Kubiak, was part of that Super Bowl team. You know, now he's worked with Zach Taylor, who's one limb removed there on the Sean McVay tree, so I think that's probably intriguing. You know, his dad nearly ruined Nebraska football, so that's kind of a good thing. You know, nothing wrong with that.
I think
I loved Bill Callahan as the Huskers coach. He was so great as the Huskers coach, trying to, you know, throw it all over the place in Lincoln.
Scott Frost hasn't done much better.
No, not at all. Brian Callahan's an interesting choice. Only 37 years old. He's been coaching for a long time for such a young age. You know, does he excite me as much as some of these other options, particularly the two guys right behind him on this poll, Kevin O'Connell, who he's pretty much in a dead heat with, and Eric Bieniemy, who he's 2.5 points ahead of? No, but you could sell me on Brian Callahan. You could.
Yeah, well, James gave it away a little bit there. Doesn't matter. 54.6% are in favor of Brian Callahan. I think that's an interesting name. Again, I'm kind of in the same boat. He is lower on my list than a few of these guys. But again, I don't have a problem with it because it's offensive. Again, I still feel like he's a little bit unproven. But at the same time, they've got some good things going there in Cincinnati right now. I could get on board with this hire. You could talk me into it. Number two on this list, the top two. Obviously, we have known Hackett and Quinn were the top two leading candidates here for a little while. At least that's what our perception is at the moment in time. Dan Quinn comes in number two to Nathaniel Hackett, which is fascinating, James. This was not something that I expected, at least at this number. Only 61% of fans who participated favor Dan Quinn.
Yeah, that's a little bit shocking that 4 out of 10 people, if they hired Dan Quinn, would say, I'm not very impressed. Now, I think there's two main reasons for that. One, he's on the defensive side of the ball, and after VJ and Vic, and after what we've seen offensively for the last 5 years, I think people are thinking, gosh, we got to go back the other way. Like, everybody talks about the 6 years without the playoffs. That first year of that in 2016, they were playing Trevor Siemian, and Gary Kubiak actually did a pretty good job with that offense. So it was an offensive-minded coach. They weren't as bad as they've been since then, but it's been an abject disaster with VJ and Vic, with defensive-minded coaches. So I think that's number one. And I think number two is people focus on 28-3. They blew the Super Bowl. Okay, I get it, but they also were in a Super Bowl when he was the head coach, and he was the DC on the other sideline in Super Bowl 48 when the Broncos lost 43-8 to the Seahawks. So if you want to talk Super Bowl scores, I'm going to focus more on 43-8 than 28-3. I think Dan Quinn is the favorite going in. I think he's the only candidate on this list that has experience. Not I think, I know. So I think that's why he's the favorite. It's up to someone else to sort of blow away the Broncos and jump Dan Quinn. I think he's going to be the choice, and I would be fine with that choice. I would feel, of all the 10, I would feel most comfortable and confident that one's going to work out, because you know what you're getting. You've seen it before.
I'm going to reserve my take on that one until we mention this next name. Nathaniel Hackett is the leader of our poll. 80% of Broncos country voted in favor of Nathaniel Hackett. The largest margin by a huge, huge percentage, 80%, James. That surprised me. That really surprised me when I came in here this morning and Richie Carney told me those numbers. I was stunned.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising to me. I think it's mostly driven by the hope that it leads to Aaron Rodgers. It's the connecting of those dots, which I think would be a silly and ridiculous reason for making a hire, because just because you hire him doesn't mean Aaron Rodgers is going to want to come here. And it's also like Aaron Rodgers is going to be here for 2, 3, 4 years. They'll be great, but you're hoping Nathaniel Hackett is here for much longer. So he's got to be able to be a guy who can survive and thrive without Aaron Rodgers. Whether it happens or it doesn't happen, there is going to be that time where he's not the quarterback. So this one to me seems like a bit of a reach. You know, I mean, he's got the best quarterback in the league. Certainly he's helped him flourish, and I've mentioned this stat a bunch, is the 48 games before Matt LaFleur got there, Aaron Rodgers was 24-23-1. So that coaching staff has certainly helped Aaron Rodgers just as much as they've helped him. Do I see the creativity out of that offense that I do out of the Rams and the Chiefs? No, I think it's more of just about Aaron Rodgers' greatness. And I tend to look at a guy like Brian Callahan and say, man, he has helped Joe Burrow blossom. So if you want to go young quarterback route, that's the way to go. Kevin O'Connell, he's been a part of a staff that, one, found a way to win with Jared Goff, and two, it took Matthew Stafford and sort of maximize his abilities that have been wasting away in Detroit for so long. Those guys are more interesting to me than Nathaniel Hackett, because I don't buy that hiring him brings Aaron Rodgers here. I just don't.
But what do you think about Nathaniel Hackett?
I think he'd be a fine hire. I wouldn't be down on the hire. I just would not put him ahead of – I would probably put him third on my list. I'm O'Connell, Quinn, Hackett. That would be – it would be enemy kind of knocking on the door to usurp Nathaniel Hackett there.
What's the reasoning, can I ask?
I just don't know how much of it – a couple of things. How much of it is LaFleur and not Hackett? How much of it is just you've got the greatest quarterback in the league, you know, that is making this stuff work? He's more of a Doug Marrone disciple. He kind of coming up through Jacksonville and Buffalo. He was with him at Syracuse, and I don't think anybody looks back in any of those towns at the Doug Marrone era of, man, that was some fun football. So I'm just not convinced. But I wouldn't be down on the hire. I think any of these top five, any of the five in this most popular group, and that's Hackett, Quinn, Callahan, O'Connell, and Bieniemy, I'd be fine with. I think it would have a better chance to work out than not. I just don't know that I would put Hackett number one.
Is there a name on this list that George Payton could hire that would make you go, what in the world is he doing?
Aaron Glenn. Yeah. Now, you know what, though? I would go into it with an open mind. If Aaron Glenn came up there in his opening press conference, and you know it when you see it, you know it when you hear it, right? And it was when I knew we were in trouble with VJ in this town, is his opening press conference was like, uh-oh, he's not ready for this. He's not ready for prime time here. I do think VJ is going to be a pretty good head coach at some point. He just wasn't ready at that point. So if Aaron Glenn got up there and he just, you know, owned the room, okay, I'd feel a little bit better about it. But that one would have me scratching my head. Jonathan Gannon, though. Look, I actually think the fans pretty well nailed this. That Jonathan Gannon, if they hired him, a defensive guy from Philly after they just got dominated by the Bucks
in his first year.
Oh, I just think that would be I think the fans got it right. I'd rather have Aaron Glenn than Jonathan Gannon. I do like his Aaron Glenn's sideline demeanor, the fact that he was able to keep his guys playing hard even though the season was long since lost. You know, I'm not going to hold him accountable for the 3-13-1 record. So I that is more inspiring than Jonathan Gannon. So yeah, I would probably go right down the order that the Broncos country put this.
All right. Well, I've held off on explaining my change of heart. We're getting into it next, James. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.